Really appreciate that song. We really have been blessed. Thank the Lord for His mercy and His love to us. Thinking about what we heard last night, and sometimes we just need a reminder of things. I believe it was Peter who said, "I just stir up your pure mind by way of remembrance."
Yeah, that's right.
Last night we heard, be ready. Are you ready? So today, this message has been on my heart for a little while now, and just pray that the Lord will help me. Appreciate your prayers this morning. May the Lord allow His word to go forth, and may we be able to receive from Him today. Ezekiel chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. And he says, "And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel.
Yes.
Therefore hear the word in my mouth and give them warning from me." Remembrance. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand."
Yeah.
"Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul."
Yes.
I was thinking about this, and you know, that word wicked is a pretty strong word, right?
Yes.
I mean, who among us would really categorize ourselves as being wicked? Maybe even in the depths of our sin, before we knew the Lord, how many of us would say, you know, "I was a wicked person"? Because that word seems very strong.
Yes.
And so I thought, you know, what does that word mean? Wicked. And I looked it up, and, you know, that word means criminal. Guilty of a crime. Hostile to God. One guilty of sin. And so, really, that word would categorize every one of us at one point or time in our lives of wicked, a criminal, one who has broken the law of God in one form or another, criminal, wicked. You know, I was listening to a street preacher one day, and he would go to the street and he would ask people, "Are you a good person?" "Yes, I'm a good person." He said, "Okay, that's good." He said, "Have you ever lied?" "Well, yes. Yes, I've lied." "Is that right?" "Have you ever stolen?" "Well, yeah, I stole." "Have you ever looked upon a woman with lust in your heart?" "Yeah." He says, "Okay, by your own admission, you're a liar and a thief and an adulterer at heart. The word of God says that those who are such are fit for the kingdom of, or for the pit of hell. Does this concern you?" And when the people heard him say that, it just was a shock to them.
Yeah.
Yes.
They couldn't believe that he would say that they were all those things, but he didn't say it, they did.
Yes, that's true.
A liar lies. If you've lied, then that makes you a liar.
Yes, that's true.
If you've stolen, that makes you a thief. If you looked upon someone with lust in your heart, you're an adulterer at heart. And the Word of God says that of such is not fit for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for the blood of Christ, we would still be those labels. But he says that he casts it from the, as far as the east is from the west, and remembers it no more. Yeah. So that he no longer remembers that you're a thief. He no longer remembers that you're an adulterer or a liar. Because of the blood of Christ and the forgiveness that comes through that. 1 Corinthians 6.
Oh, yeah.
Verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now that's God's word.
Amen.
That's not me saying that. That's not me excluding anybody. That's not me saying that I don't like this person or that person. But that's God's word that says if we fall under these categories, that we are not fit for the kingdom of God.
That's right.
We have no business being in the kingdom of God.
That's true.
He's created a pure place where righteousness dwells. Holiness. To be in the presence of God. Where he's the light of this city that we're waiting to be a part of. Sin cannot enter there. Galatians 5.
Yep.
Yeah. 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reviling, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The Lord told Ezekiel, when I tell you to warn them, warn them.
That's right.
That the wicked will not enter.
Yeah.
Wicked, strong word, like I said.
Yeah.
But it's criminal.
Yes.
God has set down a law, a standard, rules, if you will, for us to govern our lives by. And if we want to go against those, and we want to be contrary to any of those, that makes us criminal.
Yes. Yes, it does.
And wicked against the Lord. 1 Samuel. Chapter 15. Samuel was told, Saul was told to conduct a certain, train of events. The Lord told him, I want you to exterminate the Amalekites. Completely eliminate them, every bit of it. I don't want you to save anything. The Lord had specific guidelines for Saul to follow. Gave him specific instructions.
Yes.
And Saul decided to do just a little bit contrary to what God had said. Saul had decided, maybe it's okay for me to keep this King Agag, and bring him as a prisoner. And maybe it's all right, to keep some of these animals that are nice looking animals. And maybe we can just sacrifice those unto the Lord and do sacrifice to God. Surely the Lord will be pleased with these things. But the Lord is specific. He writes out his desires and his will in a specific way. He wants us to do things the way he says to do them.
Amen.
In the way he says us to do it. And we are not to deviate from that. To deviate from it is to be contrary to Him. We don't have to understand all the reasons why He tells us to do things the way He does. We don't have to know all that. We just have to know that He's given us instruction. So Saul decides not to do what the Lord had told him to do and did things just a little bit differently. I thought about it, and if Moses, you know, the Lord gave him specific instructions on how to build the tabernacle. If he had deviated, used a different material, anything of that nature, would the Lord have been pleased? Would the Lord have received that? Because we look at those things and how the Lord told him to build it, exactly how he told him to build it. We look at those things and we learn from that. From it being done just the way it was done. There's a lot to be learned from that. And that had he deviated from that, it takes away from what God was trying to relate to us and teach us. And so it's important that we do things exactly as God tells us to do it. In verse 23 of 1 Samuel 15, it says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry.
Yes.
Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." Rebellion. What is rebellion? I looked it up. Showing a desire to resist authority. Who is our authority? God is our authority. We look into His Word to hear what it is that He would have us do, how He would have us conduct our lives. We serve the Lord. How can we say that we love Him if we don't do the things that He says? Rebellion. Rebellion is to go against what God has said. Stubbornness. Stubbornness is to stick in that thought, in that framework.
Yes.
You know that Saul tried to defend himself. He tried to defend his actions. And eventually he got around about to saying, "Well, I have sinned."
Yeah.
But I really question what his heart was in that. Because it says that the Lord still rejected him. I would say that David did much worse than what Saul had done. And yet his repentant heart, the Lord received it and cleared him of the matter. But Saul was not so. Rebellion. Can we have a rebellious heart and still walk with God? You know, a lot of times we think of rebellion as being, you know, standing up in complete opposition. Complete opposition to God. In other words, I don't believe in doing anything that God says. I'm going to be in complete opposition to it. But you know, rebellion isn't just that. Rebellion can be in just the littlest matters. You know, I think of my son. He's a young boy and he doesn't know a lot of things. But there are some times when a little bit of a rebellion creeps up into that little heart of his. And he doesn't know he's being rebellious. But his rebellion is wanting to do things his own way. Doing things the way he thinks is best. Or what he would like to do. And you know, we can take that rebellion into our relationship with God and think that we're just going to be able to do our own little thing on this subject or our own little thing on that subject and it's going to be okay. But it's not okay. We can't deviate from what the Lord has said. We can't deviate in just a little bit from what He's set out for us as our guideline of how to live and how to conduct our lives. There's reasons why He says it the way He does. There was reasons why He told Moses to build the tabernacle the way he did. Exactly the way He told him to do it. All the way to the told him what kind of furs to use. The Lord has reasons for those things. Colors. Very specific. And the Lord is very specific with us. In His Word, we can receive those specific instructions and guidelines. He can speak to our hearts. Sometimes the Lord may speak specifically to you about a thing. And He's not even talking to anybody else about it, but He's talking to you about it. Because it's a problem for you. It's creating something in you that is maybe a heart of rebellion. A heart of drawing away. A heart of self, of doing things your own way. We have to be careful that we're not that way. That we don't allow just a little piece of rebellion to come in and keep us from being obedient to our authority. The Lord is our authority. And may we not be stubborn. May we have a heart that's willing to receive and say, "Yes, Lord, you're right. I've been walking in rebellion. I've been walking in selfish desires and self-will. And I've been trying to do things my own way, along with trying to do things your way. And I know the two don't mix, the two don't mesh. I pray, Lord, that you help me to just bury myself and follow you."
Yes.
And follow you completely and totally. The Word of God says, "Be warned. The wicked will not enter into the kingdom of God." Ezekiel, back to Ezekiel chapter 3. Verse 20. "Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul." I think about these scriptures in the righteous. It says, warn the righteous. Warn those righteous ones. And I think about those that have lived their whole life in service unto God, who grew up in the church, heard the preaching throughout their childhood into adulthood, and maybe even into old age. But you know, the devil does not sleep. He does not quit. He doesn't look at your resume and say, "Look how long they've served God. I'm just going to give up on them." No, he doesn't. He keeps pressing and he keeps pushing. And he's just trying to get a little piece.
Amen.
He's just trying to get a little bit. Because if we just rebel just a little, we rebel just in a small portion, that's a foothold for the devil. To dig in there and get deeper and deeper. And before you know it, you've gone way off track.
Right.
I see these, and it's been spoken of those who've gone away. And you look at the things that caused them to go away. And it was a small thing, probably, for what we would maybe look at or identify as being a small. But was it really small? Was it really insignificant? Did it really not matter? Because when you find out where they are today, you see that that little small thing didn't stop at a small thing.
Right.
It went to another thing, and then another thing. And now you don't even know where they're at and where their thought processes are. They've gone so far astray. It doesn't stop with just that little thing.
Right.
You know, I think of those things that we consider small, insignificant, not really amounting to much, unimportant. Is God saying that?
No.
Is He saying that it doesn't matter? Is He saying that it's not important? Did He tell Moses it's not really important that it be badger skins? Go ahead and use rabbit skins if you want, but I prefer badger skins, you know? No, He was specific.
Right.
It's got to be this. And if Moses had done something different, then what is that?
Right.
That's Moses doing his own will.
Right.
That's Moses conducting his own life. That's Moses directing himself and bringing that direction to others. We need to follow the Lord and follow His guidelines. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read verses 22 and 23. He says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" You know, I was thinking about these scriptures, and it just made me wonder about those who were ministers praying for people at the altar, delivering people from their sicknesses through prayer, through faith in God. Yes. They did these things. They cast out devils, preached unto the people the wonderful works of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then they went astray. The devil found a foothold and found his way in their lives. The Lord has said that none of their righteousness will be remembered in that day. All those works that they did for the Lord and all that, the ministry that was successful and how many people were blessed by it and such, he says that none of that will save them. None of that will deliver them. None of that will be a testimony to them in that day. But the rebellion that's in their heart. That righteous man can rebel, or that righteous woman can rebel and decide to do things their own way, to live their own life, to conduct their own way. And it says that if they do that, that all their righteousness will not be remembered.
That's right.
2 Peter chapter 3. "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless." We look for a place that's beautiful, where God dwells. It says that He's the light of the place. There's no need for the sun. That He's just going to illuminate the place. Can you imagine being in the presence of God in His fullness? His glory shining upon us. This is the type of place that we look for. But to be there, we need to be without spot.
Yes.
And blameless. Yes. Pure and holy. Verse 17. "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware, lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Be warned. Are any of us exempt? There's not a one of us that doesn't have the potential to go back. To turn from our own steadfastness. But by the grace of God, as we follow the Lord and allow Him to lead us and direct us, we're going to be saved. We're going to be saved. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Without holiness, not a one of us shall see the Lord. We must be diligent that we don't allow ourselves to be taken through roots of bitterness, or as we heard last night, attitudes. What you might think are little things, small things, insignificant things. But those things are roots in the heart. That spring up into much bigger things. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. Verse 25. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. If those who were forewarned by Moses didn't escape, we shall not escape either. May the Lord help us. Ezekiel chapter 33. We'll go ahead and read from 1. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say to them, When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if, when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. This is essentially a command to me, that I warn you. It's not to say that any of you are in this category.
Yes.
But I must warn you that if you are, don't stay there. I'm not sure where I stopped, but verse 8. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Therefore, O thou son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, If our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? You know, that last verse just really shows the love of the Lord. The forgiveness of God. Does the Lord get any pleasure in punishing us? Does He get any pleasure in casting us into hellfire? No, He doesn't. He says, why not just turn? Why not turn from your wicked way? Why not acknowledge where you're at and see that it's not where you ought to be? And allow the Lord to heal you, to deliver you. You know, I was thinking about it, and we're on a path. And really, that path that we're on is a path to destruction from when we were born. And the Lord is calling us away from that path. He's saying, come, follow me. Come from that path and follow my path. Follow my leading. Let me lead you. Let me guide you. You know that God is a Savior.
Yes, He is.
He's a deliverer.
Yes.
He's trying to deliver us from the path of destruction.
Yes.
Our path. Our way. May we learn to follow the way of the Lord. To walk in His path. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place. Really, he's just saying, change your ways. Line them up with God's will. Line them up with God's instruction. Line them up with God's guidance and standard. Allow Him to teach you. Allow Him to show you what is right and what isn't right. Verse 8, behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. I think of that scripture right there, and I think of so many today that think that they can steal and that they can lie.
Yes.
And that they can walk unrighteously and ungodly, and they can be fornicators, and they can be effeminate, and they can do whatever it is that they think is right in their own minds to do, and that somehow it's okay with God. And here the Lord says, will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and swear falsely, and burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom you know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say we are delivered to do all these abominations? I mean, can you hear the Lord's vehemence to that? How dare you come and act like you're going to just do whatever you want to do and come into my house? And say that you're delivered to do such things? No. We're not. The Lord's plan was much better than that. He came to deliver us from such things. Not that we would stay in them and that He would somehow just hide His eyes from it and not look upon it. May the Lord help us to amend our ways. Oh Lord, it was just a little white lie. Did you lie? Yes. Then you're a liar. And let's call it what it is. But you know, we don't have to stay that way. Does the Lord have pleasure in destroying us? Does the Lord have pleasure in casting us off? Does the Lord have pleasure in allowing us to wallow around in our sin and our destruction? No, He doesn't. He wants to deliver us. He wants to free us.
Yeah.
He wants to save our souls.
Yes.
He has no pleasure in us going astray. He's not just waiting around. I knew they were going to mess up, and here it comes. Boom. No, it's not like that.
No.
He He wants to save us.
Yeah.
And he wants to deliver us. Ezekiel, again, chapter 33, verse 12. Therefore, thou son of man, say unto the children of thy people, the righteousness of the righteous shall not deliver him in the day of his transgression. Remember that. The righteousness of the righteous will not deliver us in the day of our transgression. The day that we choose to go astray, the day that we choose to do our own thing, to do it our way, to deviate in a little bit what the Lord has said, remember, in that day, our righteousness will not save us. It won't matter how good you've been up until that point. It will not save you. As for the wickedness of the wicked, he shall not fall thereby in the day that he turneth from his wickedness. Neither shall the righteous be able to live for his righteousness in the day that he sinneth. When I shall say to the righteous that he shall surely live, if he trusts to his own righteousness and commit iniquity, all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, but for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it. Again, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, if he turn from his sin and do that which is lawful and right, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he had robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, he shall surely live. He shall not die.
Yes.
None of his sins that he hath committed shall be mentioned unto him. He hath done that which is lawful and right. He shall surely live. I think about that man that was on the cross that we've heard about in the meeting, and that, what did he ever do righteous? I don't know. It doesn't really say.
No.
But it didn't sound like he had much to say as far as his own righteousness is concerned. He said, this man is condemned unjustly. You and I, we deserve what we got coming. But he doesn't deserve this. But it says that he turned. Somehow the Lord recognized him. And said, you know what? You'll be with me this day in paradise. That's an amazing thing.
Yes, it is.
That's the forgiveness of God. That's the mercy of God. And that is the power of God. That he can do such a thing as that.
Amen.
17. Yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. It's like they're saying, wait, that's not fair.
Right?
We can maybe think that way too. Like, is it really fair that that thief can be on the cross about to die for his sin and yet he's going to be in paradise? And here I had served all my life in righteousness and goodness, and then, yeah, I started sinning at the end. Right? And you're going to condemn me for that? Yes.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Is not God's way equal though?
Yes.
To go astray? It doesn't matter what you've done to that point. You've gone astray.
Yes.
You've turned your heart.
Amen.
You're no longer following God.
Right.
You no longer have a heart for the Lord.
That's right.
So yeah, you're going to find yourself outside. He says, but as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall even die thereby. But if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. That's the Lord. And so if you think that you're standing in wickedness right now, and in rebellion perhaps, the Lord is saying that you can turn from that. You can repent of that. You can be freed of it, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ to deliver you, to pay the price for that sin. And you can be free. And you can enter into the kingdom of God if you die this night. That is the word of the Lord. But he says, be warned. The wicked will not enter into the kingdom of God. And be warned that if you're a righteous man and you've been a righteous man all your life and you decide to turn and go and be disobedient, if you decide to be bitter, unforgiving, hateful, be warned that you'll not enter into the kingdom of God either. My burden for this was that the watchman. I've already said that I believe the Lord has said you're a watchman and you need a warning. When I say warning, you warn. When I say there's destruction coming, you tell them there's destruction coming. If you fail to do so, I'm going to hold you responsible. And that's a heavy burden. Not everybody wants to do that. We'd rather just tell people they're okay. You're all right. Just keep doing what you're doing. You know, press on. We want to be encouraging. We want to be uplifting. We want to have happy thoughts for everybody. But you know, I was thinking about that watchman. And you set a man on a fence or a wall and you tell him, watch. What happens if the watchman doesn't see? What happens if the watchman is busy or happens to be looking another way and doesn't catch it? But yet there's just a regular old city folk out there and they do see it. Who's responsible then? Are not they a watchman too?
Yes.
If you sit and you see the enemy coming, but yet you're not the watchman, but yet you see the enemy coming, and nobody else knows it but you, are you not responsible?
Yes.
Is it not on you at that point to be a warner? I believe it is. I believe that whoever the watchman is the one who sees the enemy coming or sees sudden destruction on its way. I believe they're the watchman for whoever that person is that's in the way of destruction and the path of destruction. I believe that we can be better watchmen. And I don't say that to say that we should be frivolous in how we speak to people. And how we conduct ourselves in warning them and telling them about the sudden destruction that is on its way. But I do feel that we should have a burden for them. A desire to warn them. And I will say that I believe that you all do that. I do feel that there are those that do warn their children, their grandchildren. Their friends, their co-workers. I've heard that here. And I believe that that's how we ought to be. Because people are going to destruction. And many of us see it. And many of us are close to those ones that are on that path. Many of us have relationships with them. And maybe have an open door to them. I think about, or have been burdened about those people that are on our hearts that we pray for. Do you have souls on your heart?
Oh, yes, Lord.
And I know that we all do. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there's a responsibility in that. They're on our hearts for a reason. They're on our hearts. Maybe because God has made us a watchman for them. And I pray that the Lord would help us to see our opportunities, our open doors, our little chances to warn them. Like I said, I don't feel like we have to get out there and get in everybody's face and start berating them and condemning them and such. But I do feel that we can have a heart of love for them, a care for them that they can see and that they know and they recognize that we just want them saved.
Yes.
And delivered and free.
Yes.
Do we want them to enter in?
Yes.
To the kingdom of righteousness and holiness, the glory of God. May the Lord help us that when we get there, that we're counted guiltless because we did take advantage of those times and those opportunities to mourn and to be a watchman. So I pray that the Lord would help me to be that watchman. And I pray that the Lord would help you also to be a watchman in those opportunities that you have to warn those loved ones that you care so dearly about. Be warned today. And may the Lord help us all to be one who is willing to warn someone else. Thank you for your time and attention this morning.